Respect everybody. My name is Jafon Seely. It's a wonderful honor, a great privilege to be able to stand up here in front of you all today. This glorious place. I was driving here from Atlanta this morning, and you guys stay in one of the most pristine, immaculate places, I feel, nearly in the nation, maybe the world. Now, before I go any further, I know there's some of you who may be thinking, Jafon, it's wonderful to have you here, but how old are you? And if you're thinking that, I'm older than I look. In fact, you get close enough, you might see a few gray hairs poking through. But nevertheless. So I would like to begin today by just simply saying thank you. First and foremost, I would like to acknowledge all of the people who helped to make this center blossom and flourish and unfold in the ways that it does. Mr. Bill Groves, thank you so much for helping to provide this opportunity. I truly, truly appreciate it. Thank you. It all aligns. It all aligns. And if you are one of those individuals who spends some of your time and shares some of your energy here at this place, helping it blossom and unfold in the ways that it does, thank you as well. And I would like to also thank each and every one of you. Now, I know you may be saying, well, Jafon, what's all this gratitude about? The gratitude that I'm speaking of is this. I find it absolutely incredible when I open my mind to the days of yesterday, those seemingly insignificant events that have aligned with such divine precision that has enabled us to be here in this present moment today. So I'm grateful for the ways in which things unfolded in your individual life to bring you to this part of the country, in this town, in this moment, at this second, here today. So to begin, I would just like to say that the light, the life that is within me, honors and recognizes the light and the life that is shining through each and every one of you, and begin by just simply saying namaste. Peace and blessings. So, I've been on this spiritual path for right about 10 years now. I stumbled across it when I was about 5 years old. No, well, I'm just joking.
You were checking to see if we were listening.
But there's been one incredible thing that's been continuing to stand out as I've opened my mind to the writings and teachings of Ernest Holmes, as I've opened my mind to Ralph Waldo Emerson, to Raymond Charles Barker, to Charles Fillmore, and all those other incredible spiritual texts that we have at our fingertips nowadays. And the one incredible thing that's been continuing to stand out is how amazing this gift of life that you and I are experiencing truly is. I mean, just think about it for a moment. Right now, as we sit in this space, in this infinite universe that we are all a part of, there are gases and minerals and elements that are combining and intertwining in such a divine and unique way that planets are being formed. Right now, in this universe which we are all from, there are stars that are clustering together in such a way that new galaxies are being birthed. And as we look at our particular galaxy, zooming into our solar system, witnessing our immaculate planet spin in orbit in such a divine and harmonious way, illuminated by a vibrant sun that is shining down so peacefully, yet powerfully upon it. You see, in this present moment, there are trees which are reaching towards this light. There are seeds that are slowly awakening to their own inherent greatness as they are resting in soil that has been accumulating nutrients since the beginning of time. I was here early this morning and had the opportunity to sit down there by the bench and witness just squirrels running around through the trees. You see, there are animals that we are sharing this present moment with. And not only is there all this happening, but there's also you and I. See, there is a universe out here, but there was also an immaculate universe in here. Our hearts that are beating, our lungs that are breathing, our blood that is flowing, and still deeper within us all in this very moment, there are cells which are harmoniously dividing in such a way that they are helping to recreate, regenerate the organs which are giving rise to our body temples. Still deeper, molecules and atoms, electrons spinning, popping in and out of existence. You see, the one thing that I've been continuing to recognize is from the furthest planet to the closest atom, there was one constant, and that is God is ever present. One power, divine order, is running through it all. Now, some people don't enjoy the word God, and that's quite all right. I myself have yet to find a word that can encompass the all-encompassing, so please feel free to substitute it with spirit, or essence, or energy, or life, or infinite intelligence, or universe. You see, what you call it matters not, for it is that very essence that enables you to speak a word out into the ethers. All of us are filled with this infinite essence as we've been moving throughout our individual experience. You see, we can all stop for a moment and reflect back, seeing the different levels of consciousness which we've all moved through, from youth into adolescence, young adulthood, up to this present moment of now. Innumerable connections we have with people and places and events. And not just in our individual experience, but looking back in time at our grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents, great-great-great-grandparents, all of whose lives were absolutely essential in the development of who we are here today. You see, we are all standing on top of the shoulders of giants. Each of us hearing the whispers of 10,000 generations that are reverberating through our soul. Innumerable connections we have to people and places throughout our lives. Some of those events, people, situations may have been very positive, bringing happiness and joy, abundance, peace, prosperity. And some of those people or situations may have been so negative that it caused pain or some turmoil or chaos, it seems, anger, frustration, even humiliation. But you see, through the good and through the bad, there was one constant, and that is God is ever present. Divine order is running through it all. Literally, the same essence and energy that is holding the planets in space, enabling the sun to shine down upon us, is that which enabled each of us to wake up this morning. All of us using this essence which we are to squeeze the infinite into the finite limitations of our individual imagination. So with all this being said, it's my hope today to not just assist in centering your spirit in gratitude as we go throughout today's workshop. It's not just my hope to inspire you or empower you into abundant new actions or thoughts, but more importantly, to remind you of who you truly are: exceptional, divine, one of a kind, empowered by Source itself. So who am I? I get asked that question a lot. I have the wonderful opportunity to travel around the nation and speak at a variety of different spiritual communities and schools and businesses. Sometimes that requires me to dilute the spiritual lingo and put it into layman terms for different students and businesses, things of that sort. And people ask me all the time, so Jafon, who are you? And I typically say my spiel. My name is Jafon Seeley. I was raised in Salt Lake City, Utah. And as I believe it's Richard who just said, oh, so are you a Mormon? That's usually the question that follows once I say that. And I've learned to say, I was but no longer am. But yet I still do have family members who practice the Mormon religion, and I've learned in my experience that it is not my responsibility to approach another person and tell them what religious path they must follow, because when I look deep enough, I recognize and realize that all the paths that we are walking are ultimately leading the same way. You see, we are all empowered by the same essence, by the same source. So I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah. My mother was adopted from Scotland, and I was sitting in a meditation a few weeks back and just thinking about my grandparents on my mom's side who happened to venture over to England for a building mission with the Mormon Church, and my grandmother unable to have children. Something must have drew them to this orphanage, and I could just see them walking over there and seeing this little girl, 2 years old at the time, and going over there and grabbing her and bringing her back here to America. And they did legally, of course. Got to throw that disclaimer in. And they did so with the hopes that if this little girl happened to grow, she would have better opportunities in her individual life. And as this little girl got older, if she happened to have children of her own, so too would her children have abundant soil that they could blossom and unfold. My father is African American. And the disparities from my mom's side, my grandparents who were born in a small town in Salt Lake, to my grandfather who was born in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, the stories are night and day. He would tell me at 8 years old how he had to walk down certain paths to go home from school, but people didn't like him to walk down those paths because of the slight different tint of his skin. And at 8 years old, being shot at with shotguns because he wasn't supposed to be there. My grandmother grew up in Jackson, Mississippi in the heat of racial tension, and they eventually uprooted and went to the West Coast and later to Salt Lake City. And I'm telling you all of this not so you can sit back and write my biography afterwards or anything, but more importantly to remind you and encourage you to look back at all the things that have aligned with such precision to enable you to take your first breath. So after I was born in Salt Lake City, my parents split, leaving my mom to ultimately raise me and my two little sisters by herself. And even though my father wasn't around, I call it a blessing in disguise. I had a wonderful opportunity to spend a lot of time with my grandparents. And as my sisters and I went through youth and into adolescence, we started spending more and more time with our grandparents. As we witnessed our hero, my mother, fail to recognize the glorious light that was shining within herself. She was battling with her own inner darkness, so to say. And despite this, I still look at it as a blessing. You see, my grandparents built their house in Salt Lake City in a fairly affluent community in the 60s. And as it continued to grow up, it got more and more affluent. So being raised in that community, there was a lot of pluses. But I recall growing up and looking around and seeing that things really didn't match up. You see, in our community, every household had both a mother and a father at home. My dad wasn't around. My mom at that time was scraping along what many called rock bottom. Aside from that, my sisters and I were the only two kids in the community who had a slight different tint of skin. And being people's words, at times they don't understand what they are saying. They don't recognize the commonalities that we share with one another. And also I realized that my grandparents were not only helping to take care of me and my two little sisters, but were also supporting themselves and my mom and my aunt with a very small Social Security check. But despite these seeming difficulties, I still call it a blessing in disguise. You see, being raised in that community, I saw that there was one of two paths that I could travel. I could go down the path that my mom and my dad were struggling and stumbling down. But I also had friends' parents who were great examples of the opportunities that awaited me, awaited our lives. And so after graduating high school, I chose to take the road of opportunity. But there was one important thing that I realized during that time. Seeing my mom struggle with her own battles, I realized that we cannot control what another person does. Even somebody who was so near and dear to us. But we always have the responsibility and the opportunity to love them. And after leaving Salt Lake City, I went up to Seattle and reunited with my dad. And I'll never forget, some of my friends always, they would ask me, Jafon, I mean, why did you go up there and reunite with your dad? He didn't have much to do with you. I mean, why are you doing this? And I learned over time that there are times in our lives where we must look deeper within ourselves, recognizing the light that we are. Maybe so we can shine a little bit brighter for those people who we love who seem to be lost in the dark. And as I was up there in Seattle, my dad had one of those spiritual friends. And I put it in quotes because I think I'm probably one of those spiritual friends nowadays. But he would always tell me things like, you know, Jafon, everything's in divine order. God got this. Everything is, God is ever present. Only good is happening. And I remember kind of having some verbal confrontations with him. I remember telling him why I believed that divine order was not possible. You see, I pointed at things like my grandmother who helped raise me, who had just passed away. I pointed at my mother at that time, who was seeming basically crawling into a rehabilitation center. Pointed at my two little sisters, who were being raised in Salt Lake City without anybody to uphold them, empower them, enrich their lives. Pointed at my grandfather, who helped raise me, who was reaching that age that all of us will eventually reach. And I thought that I made a pretty good case as to why divine order was not possible, at least in my life. And I'll never forget, he handed me a book. And you may have heard of this book. It's called A Course in Miracles. And I will never forget the first lines that I read. In fact, I would love to get a shirt that says this. So before I tell you guys, don't take my ideas, okay? But the first lines that I read was this: the real cannot be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. And it was at that time that a small door of light seemed to open within my conscious mind, and I began thinking, maybe there was a reason for the way in which my life has aligned. Maybe there was a divine order throughout my experience. And I began thinking about my fourth grade teacher who pulled my grandmother to the side and said, "I recognize that there are some holes in Jafon's family life. May I pay for him to play soccer and baseball and basketball?" Think back to my grandfather on my mom's side who didn't have a single minority friend, yet happened to have two half-black grandchildren. And by the time he passed away, there wasn't an ounce left of discrimination in his body. I think back to my sophomore English teacher, who took time out of his day to open my mind to the writings of Langston Hughes, of other inspirational authors, and told me to keep going, to keep believing in myself, to keep writing, even when everything around me was seeming to crumble apart. And now as I look back, my mom is now clean, sober, an angel. My two little sisters are both amazing, confident, beautiful young women. I'm able to go around and share this message with a variety of people such as yourself. My dad is blossoming in his own unique way. And I've recognized that through the good and through the bad, there was one constant. And that is God was ever present. Divine order was running through it all. And I say this to encourage you to look back at your experience. The abundant mountain peaks of happiness, of peace, of prosperity, of love, of compassion, and the low dark valleys of stress, darkness, and despair. The highest of highs and the lowest of lows. And recognize the one constant that has been with you through it all. God, divine order. There's a wonderful quote by a Stoic philosopher named Epictetus, I believe it is. It might be Epictetus, so you can correct me if you need be. I've yet to figure out which one it is, so I just say both. Cover all bases. But he says, "Men is most disturbed not by what happens, but by their opinion of what happens." You see, at times we are the cause of our own frustration, turmoil, inner chaos, looking back at the past and pointing fingers and trying to find fault and blame without recognizing that life has been unfolding in such a divine and unique way since before we took our first breath. And as we recognize this, opening our consciousness to this realization, we will see that there are innumerable things that we have to be grateful for. And we can center ourselves in this inner state of gratitude. As we open our minds to the people who showed up in our lives at just the right time, even if it was just for a small moment. As we open our minds to the divine alignment that has brought us to this present moment. And as we open our mind and center ourselves in this state of gratitude, we will see that we have a wonderful opportunity to begin to be the light in the lives of others. You see, you never know whose life you may illuminate as you center yourself in gratitude and recognize the glorious light that is shining within yourself. And as you do this, as you recognize this, you will see that there are people who are awaiting you. There are people who are looking up to you. We are the role models for the future generations, for the beautiful little baby there in the back, paving the pathway for them to follow in our footsteps. Now, I know this might seem high and mighty, and you may be saying, well, that sounds great, but how do we do this? And I would just like to remind you that we are always creating something. You see, we are all using our inner essence, our infinite energy to think thoughts, to choose choices, to commit to actions. Nobody can jump within you and think your thoughts for you. Nobody can jump into your body and choose your choices or commit your actions through you. These are three keys that we've come equipped with that are fully in our possession, and we can use our inner essence, our infinite energy, to think whatever direction we would like, to choose whatever we would like, to commit to whatever action we would like. And in doing so, we are helping to assist in the co-creation of our individual experience. Peace, my friend. And we'll be jumping into this a little bit more here in the workshop today with regards to unlocking the inner greatness, recognizing our ability to center ourselves in a state of gratitude, in a state of empowerment, and then direct the cells of our life, not our cells, C-E-L-L-S, but S-A-I-L-S, our thoughts, and then choose choices which create new doorways of opportunities and commit to conscious actions, all of which are assisting in developing our individual experience. See, as we recognize this, we begin understanding that the same energy that we have used to create stress or struggle or difficulties or hardships or frustrations in our life can now be used in an intentional and conscious way to begin creating happiness and peace and abundance and prosperity and harmony. It's not going to come from out there and jump within us and all of a sudden we're this changed, enlightened guru. But as we begin recognizing more of who and what we are, honoring this essence in here, shifting that inner world, the outer world begins to reflect that change. One of my favorite quotes is from the motivational speaker Jim Rohn, and he says, "It is the set of the sails and not the direction of the wind that determines which way we will go." We are the ones who are directing our sailboat of life. Life is going to throw things at us all the time. And it's not good or bad. It's just simply life. But we have the ability to choose one thought over another, as William James says, and recognize that anything that comes our way can be used as abundant springboards to catapult us into our highest and best, because we are always carrying that inner essence, that divinity, wherever we go. Realizing this, we see that where we are right now, this tree of life which we have, it matters not how big, how ripe our fruits are, how many fruits we have hanging from the tree of life, because where we are in this present moment is an accumulation of the thoughts, choices, and actions of yesterday, of last week, of last month, of last year, of the past decade. So where we are in this present moment, we can begin to honor and center ourselves in this state of gratitude, choosing new thoughts, choosing new choices, committing new actions, and direct ourselves to whatever ends we so desire. We are it, my friends. That which we have been seeking is the energy within that enables us to seek. As we start understanding this and opening our mind to this understanding, we see that we have the light within us at all times. So I would just like to ask you all a very quick question. By a quick show of hands, if in the last month or year, or even week or few days, if there's been something within you that's just been asking you or encouraging you or inviting you to step into the fullness of your being, just simply raise your hand. And look around the room, my friends. Okay, you can put your arms down. I don't want you to get sore. But it's fairly obvious that there was something taking place. Your inner essence is begging you, is encouraging you, is asking you to continue to unfold into your highest, your best, your unbound potential. So I encourage you, if possible, to join the workshop afterwards as we step towards this inner calling, as we begin honoring this infinite essence which we all are, and recognize that as we make a new choice and commit a new action, we have the ability to create doorways of opportunities where there were once only walls of hardships. We can become our best friends and catapult ourselves into our highest and best. And as we center ourselves in this understanding, in this realization, we can say the words of the wonderful motivational speaker and author, actually. His name is, you may have heard it, Napoleon Hill. He says, "O divine providence, I ask not for more riches, but for more wisdom, with which to make better use out of the riches you gave me at birth, consisting in my ability to direct and control my thoughts to whatever ends I desire." Today, this week, this month, for the rest of this year and throughout the rest of your experience, I ask that you honor your light. Continue to show up in this world from an illuminated and enlightened space, because you never know whose lives you may illuminate along the journey. I would love to say hello to you guys afterwards. I've also put together a beautiful book of poetry that you can take with you for a very, very reasonable price, I would like to add. And aside from that, just please remember that if you're saying, "Jafon, I don't know where to begin," just know that you've added light to my experience. Even though our paths have just crossed, many of ours, for the first time, the light that you are shining into my experience, I will carry with me as I move throughout this journey of life. And I hope that I've been able to illuminate just a small piece of the genius, of the beauty, of the potential that you have within. From the depths of my heart, I appreciate each and every one of you guys, and so it is. Thank you.